This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
From the Embassy Row studios, in the crap part of Soho, it's the Men in Blazers podcast.
Oh, Devo, yes. Winter's coming.
Oh, international break 15.
Yeah, it's darkness.
Yeah, it really is.
And we'll talk about why I hate them later. But let's talk about happy stuff. It's freezing in New York.
Yeah.
There's no real football. The US are playing Ireland later today.
Yeah.
Which we're kind of craving on as if it's like a golden serving.
Yeah. Oh, England, Scotland. That's not a friendly.
There's a new man in your life.
There is a new man in my life. Stonebridge Arlo Black. Arlo joined me on Friday. He has risen. Joined me on Friday. Trip down to Nashville to pick him up. Fantastic time. Shout out. Thank you to all those GFOPs who I spent time with, drinking with, talking to down there. Meant the world to me to go and meet you. But yes, this little puppy, we flew back. He's in my life. Causing problems.
A dog is for life, Dave. Not just for Nashville.
No, he's in my life. I couldn't be happier with the little fella. He's amazing.
Done some research on Labrador Retrievers.
Go ahead, Rog.
They've got a very prominent oral fixation, Dave.
He certainly does.
They love to carry and chew things with their mouth.
Yeah, that's evidence of that. Yeah.
But they have very refined control over their jaw muscles.
Yeah.
And Dave-o, they are able to carry an egg in their mouth without breaking it. How is the egg work?
Oh, I haven't worked on the egg work. He did give me a nip this morning, though, Rog, after I brought him back from the vets. And he gave me a bit of a nip. He definitely sunk teeth into my knuckle this morning.
Michael Four Fingers Dave.
Yeah.
An email in from a GFOP.
Yeah.
Nigel Bennett.
Uh-huh.
May
or may not be your brother.
Is Devo going to Tennessee a bit like us driving from Liverpool to Cairo, Egypt, distance-wise? WTF, no dogs in New York or New Jersey.
What do you mean, no dogs? There are lots of dogs in New York and New Jersey.
Why are you pilgriming? Why are you making a
The particular reason. Have we not spoken about this before on the pod? That I met a dog named Munson, became very good friends with him. Arlo is my friend Munson's nephew. He's one of the greatest dogs I've ever met, Munson. Belongs to my friend Maggie and Casey.
Oh, mystery solved.
Mystery solved, yeah. He's related. I wanted a dog related to a dog I love.
So essentially, the answer to your question, GFOP Nigel Bennett, is Dave is a bit bonkers. I was in Vancouver.
Although I've met Nigel, and I know he'll relate to that.
I was in Vancouver.
You did? I went to Nashville. You went to Vancouver.
One of the most beautiful cities I've ever been. I landed. I've been there a couple of times. Every time I land, surrounded by water on three sides.
Water.
And I think it's got EA Sports right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And whenever I land, I think, oh, I could live here.
Wow.
I could live here. Maybe I was just a little hyperventilating because on the way there, on the flight in, I read T Magazine.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've talked about Will Smith's genius son, Jaden.
Yeah. Boom patterns.
He's now 16.
Uh-huh.
He's now appearing in magazines with his 14-year-old sister, Willow.
Uh-huh.
With quotes such as, Willow, 14.
Yeah.
I mean, time for me. I can make it go slow or fast, however I please, and that's how I know it doesn't exist. Which Jaden responds to, as you would when someone says that. He says, right, because you have to live. There's a theoretical physicist inside of all our minds, and you can talk and talk, but it's living. And then this one, David, I need you to read, because only you can do it justice.
Uh-huh.
Willow, 14, was asked, how have you changed as a person?
And she answers, caring less what everybody else thinks.
Good.
Good start. Clearly but also caring less and less about what your own mind thinks. Because what your own mind thinks sometimes is the thing that makes you sad. Really? She's just talking about the minority opinion in Davo's delegates.
Yeah.
There. It's Willow's delegates.
Others would say repression.
Yeah.
When I was at law school, Davo.
Yeah.
There was a guy there called Andy Myers.
Yeah.
It was a ginger. It will come as no surprise to you.
Uh-huh.
He was also a double-jointed ginger.
We've spoken about him before.
You and I have. He could... Yeah. What could he do?
He could fillet himself.
He could fillet himself. He could bend over. And when we were really bored, when we were studying torts, we'd be like, Andy, come and show us that thing you can do. And he'd go into the law school locker room and he'd go and... When I hear Will
How does this relate? This is I really want to know how this relates to the
When I hear Will Smith's children speak,
yeah.
I think of Andy Myers bending over and just pleasuring himself in the locker room. Where are Child and Human Services in New York?
Yeah.
And why do Child and Human Services clearly not read the New York Times anymore? I'll tell you one other thing about Vancouver, the mystery trip that I cannot speak about.
Yeah.
The nicest part of it, other than arriving in Vancouver, which is truly, God, Canada, you are a weird and wonderful and beautiful land.
Yeah.
I can't wait to explore your bounty.
Yes. In the World Cup, Roger, 2015. Dave,
it was the first time I was able to debut the latest Men in Blazers holiday collaboration.
It's a beautiful collaboration with General Knott. It is the Men in Blazers holiday tie. It comes in two colours. There is a blue with a dark, sort of a navy blue with a sky blue and white stripe. There is also a navy blue with a red and a white stripe. And it features a... Are we teasing it?
Should we? I don't know. Over the course of human history, ties have been put to many uses.
Yeah.
They've made unsightly buttons disappear.
Yeah.
They've kept gusts of wind at bay to bolster a man's chest hair. They've protected many, many businessmen against Putinesque backsplash in an Italian restaurant.
You're right.
But now, I think this is possibly the first
time. They've been flipped in anger by Jose Mourinho in his fight, legendary almost
Aikido
fight against Arsene Wenger.
But now, this tie put together by General Knott, who is one of our favourite tie and bow tie. And if you are ESPN soccer broadcast, you'd probably buy a little hanky for your pocket there too.
Or a scarf of some kind.
They're from Bedford, New York. We have long admired the way they painstakingly, they do limited runs
wonderful
of neckwear from vintage, rare vintage, kind of fabric that they find all over the world.
Yeah.
This one is in tribute to Belgian
coach Mark Wilmots and his nickname.
It's got tiny little war pigs all over.
They're beautifully designed war pigs.
And we thought this tie, which Devo demanded of the designers, it was woven in southern England, and then the tie was cut in New York. Devo had one demand. He said he'd like half to be red and half to be blue.
Yeah.
Because everybody's one
or
the other.
You're either a red or a blue.
And we do. We hope that the people who buy them, there's only 500 of each colour. It's a limited run. We hope that you'll wear it as a signifier. You'll wear it to the game or to the pub. You'll wrap them around your head in victory.
Yeah.
And,
When do they go on sale,
I think,
Rog?
Thursday, David.
Wow, Thursday of this week.
I think Thursday midday.
Yeah, Thursday, November the 20th at midday Eastern, they will go on sale. I believe they're going to sell out quickly. I wore mine, Rog, down to Nashville to pick up the GDOP. And a lot of people said, how can I make a pre-order?
I think it is my proudest achievement as a man in Blazer to actually have a beautiful tie by General Knott in collaboration. So
quickly, Rog, before we get into the football, I want to thank GFOP Matthew Cox. You are the winner of our name, the GDOP contest. You named him Arlo Black, which is his name after our friend Arlo White. We're sending you, this is what we're sending you.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's getting a patch, of course.
Yeah.
It's getting a special picture of me, Devo, and Arlo Black. It's going to be taken at some special New York City location. Maybe
also,
by our new friend, our French photographer from Bordeaux, who we met this week.
Yeah.
And most importantly, he's going to receive the golden turd of Arlo.
Yep, the first ever turd that Arlo dropped in Devo's
province. We have basically... we've frozen it, and it's gone through some advanced chemical process to take away all of the stench and everything else.
Like Ted Williams,
and then we've covered it in gold, Rog.
Yep.
And we've
did
heated
it. Did it not come out? I've seen it. Did
in
it not come out gold? I just assumed it came out of gold. If it came out of Arlo's bottom, I just assumed it would come out of gold.
No, not came out silver.
Like I imagine
came out silver.
Sam Allardyce, I imagine he drops like that. Alchemy.
Yeah, some incredible. We hired an alchemist, Rog, and we just turned the silver turd of Arlo into a golden turd of Arlo.
And Mr. Cox, you are going to receive this.
Yeah, you're going to receive it. That's going to be your gift. Thank you so much. The name Arlo is going down massively. People keep on coming up to me, Rog, and just saying hi to Arlo because they've seen him.
They've heard
on
he drops
Twitter,
golden
on the
turds, David.
Yeah, it's very well. Actually, in Tribeca, that could go down really well.
Americans love gold.
I'll tell you, all the bankers down there won't know how to compete with that. And people are very fond of his name, so thank you so much for that. Okay, Rog, we have a packed pod. We're going to recap the
How do we, David? It's an international break.
Well, we've frankly, we've scrabbled together a lot and we've put some things in there.
International breaks are miserable for football fans, unless they support Spurs or Liverpool. I was trying to think what I hate more than international breaks, David. Yeah. And the only thing I can come up with are fist bumps. Why do I hate fist bumps? I really hate it.
Well,
Whenever someone tries to fist bump me, I always just automatically just kind of cloak their fist in my hand and give them like a love pat.
You know, we're very, very close friends, Rog. Yeah. But I wouldn't say that you're a lover of male intimacy.
I love shaking hands.
No, exactly. Exactly. You're not a big hugger.
Yeah. Oh, I love getting cuddles.
Well, Mrs. B, maybe, from your kids. But you're not a big male... You're not a big male hugger.
No, David, that's it. I do not like
fist
bumps.
Do you and Nige hug each other?
Yeah, always. I'll kiss him on the cheek when I first see him.
Oh, that's nice.
When I go back to Liverpool. But it's not about hugging or intimacy. I love cuddles. I love hugging.
Yeah.
I love seeing GFOPs. I love love. I love love. The fist bump.
Why don't we hug and cuddle more?
There's something about it.
Yeah.
Something about the fist bump, David. And I know you feel the same.
I am fine with the fist bump.
You are?
It doesn't bother me.
Do you fist bump people back?
Well, no, I find it odd when there are people who are so germaphobe that they will only fist bump.
Oh, is that why they're fist bumping?
A lot of people fist bump because they're germaphobes and they don't want to catch your germs. That's the big reason.
Howie Mandel is a very, very famous fist bumper.
You lick your knuckles. He's a very famous fist bumper because he doesn't want to catch germs. So some people do it as germaphobe. I find that odd. But people who are just like, hey, yeah. I mean, it's like the high five is a little awkward too. I don't think the fist bump is any different than the high five. I'll indulge in a high five, a fist bump every now and then.
I honestly never knew it was about... I thought people it was males who were appropriating like a...
I think many of them are. I'm not saying that they're all germophobes. I'm saying many of them are, but some of them are just germophobes, Roger. Come on, fist bump. Oh, that was awkward. That was a little awkward. Okay, packed pod today, Roger. We're going to recap the Von Trapp's exploits across the Atlantic. Well, at least the exploit against Colombia at Craven Cottage. We're going to celebrate victories, both moral and literal, for citizen football in Euro 2016 qualifying. We're going to lament the latest not-so-shocking developments regarding Sepp Blatter and his cronies, Rog. We'll also be joined...
He is a right bastard.
We'll also be joined by an NBA player with many nicknames. One of our favourite players, Rog, including the Polish Hammer, Sexual White Chocolate, Washington Wizards, Big Man, Marcin Gortat, the pride of Poland.
There's two of those nicknames for what you call yourself as well. Amazing. I want to go back to international break.
Okay, let's go back to international break.
Waking up on an international break when there's no Premier League.
Yeah.
I hate it, but I also love it, David.
Really?
Do you know why I love it? It's a stark reminder to me of what America used to be like before it fell in love with soccer.
That's interesting.
It's sometimes good to have moments of deprivation.
Yeah.
So you don't get accustomed to privilege.
That's interesting.
I sound like one of the Will Smith's kids, don't I?
Yeah, you do. Boom patterns. Boom patterns. Don't care about what you think, Rog. When you get something that you think in your head, don't care about it. You don't want to care about what you think in your own head.
I'm not going to let myself get myself down.
Don't listen to yourself. It's your own worst enemy, Rog.
Listen to other people.
Yeah.
Don't listen to other people.
Yeah.
Listen to yourself, Davey.
That's interesting.
When do we get to drink a Guinness today?
To the football, Rog. Oh. We did. I'll say we did a photo shoot this week for an in-flight magazine of a famous airline, Rog. And we had to do one of the shots where we had to like shake up a Guinness. We shook it and shook it and shook it and shook it in order to like spray it to get this great shot of the spray going everywhere. And as much as we shook it, we couldn't get the spray to go anywhere. And yet, every time we open the Guinness on the pod, it goes all over the table.
Oh, Davo. It's a tweed.
It's a tweed.
If there's ever been a day to drink a Guinness, it's when the US travel to Ireland.
The national team are going to play against Ireland. Exactly.
To play Ireland reserves.
Okay, Rog. But before that game, they went to Craven Cottage, played against Colombia. USA 1, Colombia 2, Rog. The Von Trapps fall at the cottage. The US took an early lead through a Jozy Altidor ninth-minute penalty, but 2 second-half goals from Colombia, including one in the 87th minute, Rog, handed the US their first loss since the World Cup.
It is a beautiful part of America, Fulham, isn't it?
Yeah, Fulham.
Attendance, US soccer very proud of the attendance, 24,235.
Yeah.
It was technically a home game for the US.
Yeah. And yet...
Who knew there were so many Colombians within a stone throw of Fulham, David?
Yeah, no, a lot of Colombians. Either made the trip or travelled from across Europe. We're not quite sure.
We got a great raven from GFOP David Kinney, who was at the game,
uh-huh,
and explained the mystery.
Uh-huh.
He said the Colombians, most of them seem to be permanently settled in London. They came in families, which is why there were so many of them.
So one person equals five.
He said there was, you often saw three generations of Colombians sitting together. Uh-huh. By contrast, the Americans were almost exclusively between 20 and 35, a mix of, uh-huh, backpackers, master's students, and city workers on loan to the London branches of our corporate overlords.
All living on and off the Gloucester Road.
He also said an interesting thing. He said it was amazing to watch Americans at the concession stands. He said, too many Americans order a lager and a burger over a bitter and a steak pie. You're in a foreign country. Have a new experience, Americans.
Good point. Very, very good point. So how about the performance, though, Rod? US let a lead slip again right at the end of a game.
But this was avant-garde, experimental. In terms of
freestyle,
team picking.
It was jazz. Was it jazz, Rog?
It was. There were six players, 25 or under.
Yeah.
Including captain, my captain, Jozy Altidore.
Wow.
We think of him as 57 years of age.
Yeah.
But he's still just 25. He wore the captain's armband. And I'll say, it would not have escaped.
It's 3.5 in dog years.
Don Garber's attention.
Yeah.
That only two of the starters ply their trade in a certain domestic league over here that's not called NASL.
Wow, and MLS.
Jermaine Jones again played at centre back.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that great American John Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the positive of the game was a plucky performance by Rubio Rubin.
Wow.
18-year-old Oregonian who's played nine times for Utrecht.
Yeah.
He's brave. He's raw. There's something there. Let's hope he's not been drafted in to play the Breccia, Juan Aguadello, too much, too young role, David.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
GFOP Dean Dizzy's compared Klinsmann's wide net. He said it reminds him of Frederick the Great's father scouring Europe for tall men to put in his regiment of giant grenadiers. Innocent travellers were often press ganged in. That's what the US team feels a bit like now, David.
You made an interesting point to me earlier, Rog. You're saying how these friendlies mean so much to the US and the way that the US get judged because they don't have any competitive football until next summer. And we're all in danger of reading too much into international friendlies, Rog, which we never want to do.
Yeah, well, the trouble for Jurgen is that England, I mean, we're beating up on England, we'll talk about that, but most European sides, they have qualifying for Europe, games that mean something, and when they don't play a qualifier, they have friendlies, and they know the difference. They know which games are meant to matter, which games aren't. The US has no games that matter.
Yeah.
When you don't have any games that matter, everything matters.
There's no comparison. Yeah.
So we almost read...
There's no relief.
...everything into this game. And this was... This was the first time that the US have lost when Jozy scored.
Mm-hmm.
Scored early, Davo made the terrible mistake. He got a penalty. Rubio Rubin, very, very good. World class even at pushing defenders' hands onto the ball. Should Jozy have missed taking a penalty that early, Davo?
Mm-hmm.
He tried very hard to.
Yeah.
But there to Jozy at the international level. I do find it interesting. Jurgen gave him the armband, Davo. It always feels like Jurgen is standing over kind of Josie's inert body, plumping up his chest, giving him the kiss of life. And you kind of feel he has to. He's still the best our nation's got. He's our Jozy. And he's saving all of his goals just for us, Davo, the United States. I loved after the game how he told the LA Galaxy over Twitter, possibly by mistake, possibly on purpose. He tweeted, at LA Galaxy, no means no. Stop blowing up my agent's phone.
Wow.
Jozy, very much Team Klinsmann, Davo. It's all reciprocated.
Interesting.
Did the US know what to do with a lead then?
Well, it's tough, and obviously Colombia with all of that Colombian support and that World Cup experience, Rog, quarter finalists at the World Cup, and I know they went a little deep into their squad, but still a team that knows how to win, and they came back at the end and they took the imaginary friendly 3 points, Rog.
Yeah, I mean the second half was like watching Colombian players club seals. It was just move after move. First, Carlos Bacca knifed the ball home. Brad Guzan, Brad Guzan, seven saves.
GFOP.
Bloodied of head. John Anthony Brooks, I thought, had a terrific game. Proved he can do more than score great late goals.
Yeah.
But then they Colombia stole the game with a move of slashing invention. They gutted the US defence with a Sky Steel shock, tooth hunter knife.
Yep.
And Gutierrez nodded home the kind of goal that the US never, ever scored themselves. It was the first loss, as I said, for the US when Josie scored. Funnily enough, Sunderland have only ever lost once when Josie scored. He's only ever scored once for them, and they lost that day. I'm trying to be positive, David, about the US. I'll say three positives.
Yeah.
Number one, seeing Alexi Lalas at halftime looking a bit like super creepy Nick Nolte.
Yeah.
When Nick Nolte got that DUI, Alexi Movember looking eerily like that. Number two.
Positive number two.
Also a moustache.
Yeah.
Mixed discory.
Yeah.
Oh, what can be said about that moustache, David? Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
It's like seeing a masterpiece, a European oil painting, defaced cruelly. It's like when Vegas casino owner Steve Wynn punctured his Picasso La Rêve with his right elbow and caused a massive tear in it. I don't understand why you do that to perfection, David.
Okay, positive number three.
Pre-game handshakes.
Yeah. Witness not fist bumps.
James Rodriguez walked down the line.
Yeah.
And then he saw Kyle Beckerman.
Uh-huh.
He looked him in the eye. You could tell it was like when President Nixon met Elvis Presley at the White House. Game recognizes game.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, beautiful.
It was a nice moment.
Two equals, David.
That's
two
interesting.
Two equals see there and recognise each other.
But you say that, those are the positives, but isn't there something in this more expansive front-to-back passing game that Jurgen is attempting with the US men's national team?
Well, he keeps saying, at C. Patterson 257 said, why does every US men's national team loss feel so gut-wrenching even when it's a friendly? After the game, Jurgen tried to call a spade a golden spoon. And he said, overall, maybe a tie would have been the right result. I think some creative, magical Jurgen thinking.
The year of magical thinking.
I would urge everyone to not read too much into it, David.
Yeah.
I mean, we only have these games to go on. CONCACAF is not a test, really, even when there are real games. And you have to think this Craven Cottage game was a great experience for these very young kids to draw on. Although you did get the feeling watching that Colombia never got out of third gear.
It's difficult, isn't it? Don't read too much into it. And at the same time, I think you've got to apply to the US the mantra of, we don't have that much to read into.
Yeah, I'd agree.
We don't
on that.
Have that much into which to read.
I do have one question, though. For a team whose chances are always going to be limited,
I would love
to see the US take more advantage of set pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You watch other international teams, and we'll talk about Scotland in this podcast.
Yeah.
They seize their opportunities. The US are always very disappointing. A story that will not go away.
Well, yeah, England. Jeff, I think that would apply to as well. Over the years, when England were doing better, they scored a massive number of their goals from set pieces. Roger.
Story that won't go away. Jeff Carlisle wrote it about Jurgen, the continuing rift with MLS.
Mm-hmm.
This time it came out that many of the MLS owners are furious with Klinsmann and US soccer staff urging young players to sign with European clubs, bypass MLS, and even gone as far as organising training stints. How dare they, Davey?
Yeah, tortious interference, Rog.
You think?
Well, he's definitely interfering with their contracts a little bit, but he's got no benefit. No benefit accrues to, you know, him financially from any of this stuff. Look, I think Jurgen, I defend him yet again. Jurgen is just doing and saying exactly what he has always said and done. He's continuing. It's just getting highlighted more because MLS is having a real problem with it right now.
Yeah, I mean, to some degree, we all need to get over it. And this, our national mission is not building a league. The league has done unbelievably.
And the league is going to build. The league doesn't need a lot of help. The league is doing fantastically. It's getting bigger and more powerful all the time. That is not Jurgen Klinsmann's job.
What the league has done in the past 20 years, going into its 20th season next year, is unbelievable. But his mission is to build a remarkable team.
Yeah.
And you see Costa Rica at the last World Cup with the talent that they had. The big difference is they are so hungry. When I was in Honduras, World Cup qualifier game, the US lost 2-1. Before it, Sunil Gulati came and spoke to reporters and he said there is a culture of pampering around these US players that we need to break.
Mm-hmm.
And so to some degree, that's what I think Jurgen's trying to do, push these people out. I think my favourite US soccer story of the last week that was out there that did crack me up was when it was revealed, or someone gave out the message that the US soccer are laying the groundwork, Davo, for Pep Guardiola.
Wow.
It's like me announcing to the world that I have laid the groundwork for a relationship with Kelly LeBrock.
Wow. Be a big thing.
It's clickbait.
Is she going to replace me on the pod, Roger? Kelly LeBrock would be a...
Just laid the groundwork. It would be... I've just... That's all I've done.
It would be a good pod.
Big news for North America.
Yep.
Two nice pieces of news, because we like to be positive.
Yep.
Manchester United have signed 17-year-old Real Salt Lake youth product Josh Doughty.
Wow, Josh Doughty. Good job.
Unfortunately, he's Canadian.
Oh.
But he's US eligible. Come on, Josh.
Come on.
He's lived here since he was four.
Uh-huh.
Get your citizenship in, mate. Yeah. I'll cook you up with my lawyer. Bigger news for the US.
Uh-huh.
LeBron James.
Yep.
Told ESPN
mm-hmm.
he doesn't let his sons play football, NFL football.
Wow.
He says only basketball, baseball, and soccer are allowed in my house.
Wow, good.
So remember this name, Davey.
Uh-huh.
7-year-old Bryce Maximus.
Wow.
Is a big soccer player.
Be amazing.
Yeah, we could well be playing next international break.
Well, we'll see.
LeBron Jr. is starting to focus on basketball, though. Come on, LeBron Jr. Back to the light.
Meanwhile, Rog, in another English-speaking nation, England,
a lesser football nation,
beat Slovenia 3-1 Saturday at Wembley to stay perfect in their Euro 2016 qualifying group. Danny Welbeck scored twice. Played very well, actually.
Arsenal's Danny Welbeck.
And Wayne Rooney converted a penalty in his 100th English appearance to keep Roy Hodgson's men top of Group E.
But still.
Yeah.
They won 3-1, but still. The callers to sports radio were calling in their hundreds to say Roy Hodgson should be sacked.
Yeah.
England had won a fourth straight qualification game.
Yep.
But still, I think everyone's saying he should have gone. Should have got rid of him after the last World Cup. Well, nothing. A 3-1 win over mighty, mighty Slovenia, David.
Yeah.
Fighting back from one goal down.
Yeah.
Well done, Hendo.
It's difficult.
An England's goal that John Terry would have been proud of.
He very much would have been. I mean, England's performance in that first half was abject, Rog. It was terrible. And I think people, even when they won the game, came back and won it 3-1, people were still so furious about the first half performance. Before we get into that, I think we should say, or I'd like to say, about Wayne Rooney. We make fun of him a lot. We make fun of his hair. To appear 100 times for your country, it's an amazing appearance. It was actually quite moving. He's the third leading scorer in the history of the England national football team, I think behind only Charlton and Gary Lineker. And he's been an amazing international. He hasn't shown up necessarily in the big tournaments, only got one goal in the World Cup, but he has done amazingly for England over time, and it was a really beautiful evening for him.
Well, I thought it was very moving how, in honour of his 100th cap,
They
did that beautiful ceremony where they made the Wembley turf look just like his hair.
Very true. That was nice. That was a nice tribute.
Yeah, even the Slovenians laughed at how poor the turf was.
Yeah.
And those people normally play on fields replete with mountain goat droppings.
And the reason it was so poor, Rog, the NFL affected, Rog.
Yeah, it was. It was like MLS game from the early 90s. There was a Jacksonville Jaguars logo in the corner of Wembley while England were playing a game on it.
Yeah.
It was shocking. In all seriousness, and a lot of Americans find it very funny, Wayne Rooney was presented with a literal golden cap.
Yeah.
A gold one.
Yeah. Beautifully embroidered.
The most English thing of all time.
Yeah.
You need to understand, America. If you only understand one thing from this pod, caps are a staple of English life.
Caps are huge.
It's all
caps are bigger than food.
Caps are all we've got to stop our society from falling into anarchy. Did you wear one at school?
Oh, yes, of course I wore one.
I wore one until I was 13.
Yeah.
And shorts.
I was either in my school cap or in my Cub Scout cap the whole time.
I have my cap somewhere.
My cricket cap.
I'm going to find my cap and wear it. On Wayne Rooney, I think I can't. He's a perfect player for England to be the symbol of their decline over the past decade or so since he made his debut in February 2003. Let's talk about his international legacy because I think it is fascinating. He's just the 9th England player to reach 100 caps. He's the youngest, 29 years, 22 days.
Yep.
He told the press he won't be considered an England great until he wins a tournament.
Yeah.
So he won't be an England great then.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to remember, Dave, and we were chatting about this earlier when we were preparing for the game. When do we last feel great about England?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the 1990 World Cup.
And the 1996 Euros.
You have to remember when Rooney made his debut as a 17-year-old and then England went into the 2004
Euros.
He appeared to be unstoppable.
Yeah. He was amazing. He was a bully. He could win the ball anywhere, beat anybody in any way, played with a level of aggression and skill.
YouTube is performances. Yeah. The Observer prophetically called him a snarling ball of aggression, too wild for some taste, but a force impossible to ignore.
Yeah.
And I think this is why I'm bringing this up. He broke his leg, his foot in the quarterfinal against Portugal, and England wilted immediately. I think Wayne Rooney's crime was that he front-loaded his international career.
Yeah.
He made English people believe they could win it all right at the beginning, and then they never did. If he'd just been standard crap, as he has been since, we would not be having this debate. His crime was that he was so good at the outset, he raised our expectations.
I don't think that's entirely fair, only because his qualifying record has still been great. And you must remember that growing up, Rog, in the 1970s and part of the 1980s, we didn't qualify for anything either. So qualifying actually is better than what we grew up with. And then we went through the golden generation in the 90s with some level of success. But Wayne Rooney, at the very least, you have to give him that. He was better than anyone else who was available to play his position in England. Might not be saying a lot, but he was the best of his country. This is representative football. You play to be picked over the people in your country. He was better than everybody else, and that's why he continues.
That's
to get
like
picked.
Being the best pogo sticker.
Yeah, but
in
it is
South
it's
Dakota.
Representative football, and I think he deserves some credit to get to 100. Just for a moment. Just
to commemorate his 100th cap, I went back to my magazines and I pulled out an FHM magazine that I'd saved from his 2004 pomp.
Wow.
And I found this question and answer with him.
Uh-huh.
Two questions. Number one, will we see you experimenting with any daft haircuts down the line, Wayne? Rooney, no, I don't think you'll see that. I think I'll keep it just the same. They press the issue. Not a mullet. What if the 70s footballer perm comes back into fashion? Rooney, I don't think so. I think I'll just stay with me hair now. They even wrote me hair, Emmy hair, me hair now. If only he'd followed his own
young
advice.
Well, he sort of has. He hasn't gone for insane haircuts. What was his first quote? He's going to try and keep it the same.
Yeah.
He has tried to keep it the same. He just has a rather lucid definition of me hair. It's just a slightly loose definition. He did win the penalty, Rog, that got England back into that game.
To the game. Guardian's Barney Rooney beautifully
suggested
England's game plan appeared to be, let's lure our opponents to sleep.
Yeah.
That's kind of it.
Yeah.
England have now won 5 games in a row. Thank you, Euro qualifiers.
See, this is why the US are probably doing a good thing, not playing games that matter. England are playing games that matter. They've won them all, but they're judged so harshly on the manner of the victories. They can't win. It's almost no win for England, no win for Roy Hodgson, Rog. In other qualifying news, Rog, Germany 4, Gibraltar 0, the mighty Gib concedes 3 fewer goals than Brazil did against Germany this summer. Not only that, Gibraltar almost scored, Rog, a 35-yard dipping shot from former Portsmouth man Liam Walker nearly snuck past Manuel Neuer, who parried it away at the last minute. After the game, Gibraltar's manager said, it's a great result and we really needed something like this. 0-4. I could not have asked for more.
Yeah, massive step forward for
them
on the field. After they'd lost 7-0 to Poland and the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah.
Losing 4-0 to the world champions, Davo.
Yeah.
Probably tastes like victory.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the pre-game quote from Gibraltar keeper slash fireman, Jay Perez.
Mm-hmm.
If we concede fewer than 7 goals, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Then we can say we're better than Brazil.
Uh-huh.
Well, mission accomplished, lads.
Yeah, better than Brazil.
There was a moment I loved in that game.
Yeah.
Manuel Neuer had so little to do. He pushed right up to the halfway line during the second half.
Huh.
Beautiful image I've only seen once before when Victor Valdez did it during Barcelona's 5-goal destruction of Real Madrid in the Clásico.
Mm-hmm.
He said after the game, they said, are you going to win the Ballon d'Or? He said, I'm a sportsman, not an ambassador for a brand. I'm not some guy who poses in his underpants.
Wow.
As a man who spends most of his life essentially doing the English equivalent of standing around in my undies, I can assure you, Manuel, life doesn't get very far.
It'd be amazing to find the athlete honest enough to say, I'm not an athlete. I'm just a spokesman for a brand. And I want to spend the whole of my life standing around in my underpants. Who comes to mind who might be likely to go and say that, Rog?
How dare you? Talking like Kyle Beckerman.
Greece 0, the Faroe Islands, Rog. 1, Jørn Edmundsen, Rog. That is Jørn Edmondson of Club Havna Boltfellag.
That sounds like something that Bart Simpson would call up the bar with and torture Barney.
Yeah, actually, let me repronounce that. Of Hanna Busfella. No, it doesn't sound like that. In the Faroe Islands top league, the F.O. Dildin scored in the 61st. This sounds like something out of How to Train Your Dragon. He scored in the 61st minute to give his side its first competitive win since 2011. Former Chelsea boss Claudio Ranieri was sacked by Greece shortly after the loss.
When citizen football wins, we all win, right, David?
Yeah, we do.
187th in the world, the Faroe Islands.
Uh-huh.
Is it a state? I think it's a Danish kind of principality.
They're islands.
50,000 people live there.
Yeah.
They don't even have a McDonald's. They only have 3 traffic lights.
Yeah. They don't have an economy that can have
a
collapse or
they
a
do.
Crisis.
Fishing.
Yeah.
Fish processing.
Yeah.
Small ship repair. Just small
Small
ones.
Ship repair. And don't send your big ship to the Faroe Islands or even your mid-sized
that's
ship.
That's
only
a commonly,
send
commonly
your
made
small
mistake.
Ship.
And handicrafts. That's yeah. what propels
Ooh, handicrafts.
That mighty nation.
Yeah.
Greece. European yeah. champions in 2004, packed yeah. with players from Torosidis from Roma, yeah. Christolopoulos from Verona,
yeah.
and Andreas Samaris of Benfica
yeah.
were totally, totally outplayed.
And this game was in Greece,
yeah.
Rog.
It was just their fourth competitive away win in 24 years. That's a lot of
wow.
time packing your bags, going over, repeating.
That's amazing. I know, leaving your small ship repair business.
Their biggest
behind.
Win since 1990.
Yeah.
Which was, you'll all know, 1-0 against Austria. All I can say is a Men in Blazers national team challenge
yeah.
has been faxed to a handicraft store in the Faroe Islands.
I thought you were
going to
say we've challenged Greece.
Oh.
That would be perfect.
Yasu, we await a response.
In other international news, Rog, for Scotland, today's match hasn't kicked off yet with England, comes after a massive 1-0 victory over Ireland in Euro qualifying Friday, a stylish build-up and Sean Maloney wonder strike in the 74th minute.
That's
earned
how you
the Tartan
take a
Army
free kick.
All 3 points and put them into third place in Group D behind Poland and Germany. That Group D is shaping up to be a great one.
Yeah, a game Rog. Which featured far too many Everton players to have any real quality.
Yeah.
The great focus for the Scottish fans was baiting Everton's winger Aidan McGeady, Glasgow-born. Mm-hmm. But he decided to play for Ireland. I guess he's Irish, Julian Green.
Mm-hmm.
There was one moment of sheer class. Wiggins, Sean Maloney, killed the ball home. Inventive short corner. It was stunning. Take note, mm-hmm. Jurgen Klinsmann.
Yeah, it's a honestly, set piece.
It was. This game, all I could think of while I was watching this game was, don't mess with the ball, young man. You'll get mm-hmm. the horns. They just pounded each other. I pity England mm-hmm. when they play. I hear a rumour that they're going to make England run out when they play Scotland later this afternoon. They're going to run out to the Proclaimers 500 miles.
Who told you that scandalous rumour? Oh, they wouldn't do something so silly.
But these teams have Germany in their group. One mm-hmm. team will go through, but Poland are playing so well, and that's
yeah.
without our guest
yeah.
playing for them. This game, it really had the feel of a fight between two inmates with a homemade shiv in a prison cell.
Big news out of Group B, Rog. Israel defeated Bosnia-Herzegovina 3-0 to remain in first place. Wales sits second in that group after holding Belgium to a 0-0 stalemate in Brussels.
Unbelievable, Dave. I mean, Wales withstood heavy Belgian pressure. Belgium continue to underachieve as the aftershocks of Tim Howard's saves and Wando's miss still haunt them. Belgium, they're still ranked number 4 in the world, but mm-hmm. the likes of Gareth Bale and Aaron Ramsey alongside David Cotterill of Birmingham City and Emir Hughes of Wigan, kind of lesser players, Wales are hard not to love.
Uh-huh.
After the game, Chris Coleman, the Welsh manager, his modesty was truly, truly beautiful.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this was probably one of the results of the decade for Wales. He uh-huh. said, we've always been a little country that's never done much. And when we promised to do something, we've never done it. Now they might, Davo. And another little country who've always been crap, Israel, Davo.
Yeah.
They're on the cusp of qualifying for their uh-huh. first international tournament.
Wow.
Since a disastrous trip to the World Cup in 1970.
Wow.
They've long been bedeviled by corruption,
mm-hmm.
general incestuous decision-making within yep. their football association.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when I was a kid, when England, a couple of times they played Israel
mm-hmm.
in the 1970s, 1980s, yep. I'd feign a sick day from school so uh-huh. I could watch the game. The television, the broadcast was just terrible because Israel was like in the 1940s, uh-huh. technology rise. You couldn't see the ball. But I'd watch with wonder. I'd never seen Jewish blokes play sport before.
Okay, Rog, some massive news last week from everyone's favourite ever-benevolent not-for-profit that owns Switzerland, FIFA. Rog, the organisation's ethics committee, they've got one of those, ruled that there is not enough evidence of bidding improprieties to strip Russia or Qatar of the World Cup. FIFA judge, Rog, because they have FIFA judges. I'd love to see that outfit. Hans-Joachim Eckert released a summary of American attorney Michael Garcia's independent investigation into the bidding process, in which he concluded that that process was well thought out, robust, and professional. Garcia, whose complete report has not been made public, quickly hit back, saying Eckert's summary misrepresents his investigation's findings, Rog.
Yeah, only Franz Kafka and Roger Goodell could really appreciate this level of brazenness, David.
Yeah.
I mean, in this Eckert report, the two countries who were wrapped over the knuckles were the US and England.
Of course, yeah.
The two who've complained the most about the lack of transparency.
Of course.
I mean, FIFA, it's just got the stink of a place where the scale of the crime and the brazenness of the criminal kind of conspiracy seems to let Sepp Blatter and his cronies get away with anything. We've joked before about the old English phrase, baffles brains. And this just seems to be the prime instance, David.
We are getting more and more ravens sent to us week in, week out, asking us. By the way, Russell Brand is now staring into our room as we are podcasting.
I thought that was Jesus.
No, it's Russell Brand. We're getting more... It smells of Sam Allardyce in here all of a sudden. We're getting more and more ravens emails from our GFOPs asking what they can do to combat FIFA. Is there anything? I mean, is a boycott of soccer possible? Is a boycott of the World Cup? Is there some kind of a protest that any of us can make?
Well, I think to answer the question, you kind of have to understand how FIFA can get away with this if the glove don't fit, you must acquit nonsense. At Hoch Schüssel, GFOP, said, how do they get away with such a report where they almost exonerate John Wilkes Booth, Lee Harvey Oswald, Sirhan Sirhan and James Earl Ray while they're doing it?
Uh-huh.
I mean, FIFA, partially it happens because international governments by and large allow sports entities to exist in a vacuum. They figure that their currency is that they're dealing with the opium of the masses. They leave them well alone. Secondly, it's based in Switzerland. It's only accountable to Swiss law. And by Swiss law, we mean, I mean, it's hard to say that without smiling.
Thirdly, where, a Swiss law where they allow FIFA judges, no doubt wearing ceremonial robes and protected by Vatican guards.
It's based on a massive patronage system. It's like an old Chicago political machine, FIFA. Millions are doled out to small states in Africa. And even CONCACAF, Trinidad and Tobago were until recently massive kingmakers. And they lock in the votes into perpetuity. And the only nation that has really aggressively taken them on is England. The Sunday Times has investigated FIFA with a tooth comb. And the more they do, the more Sepp Blatter turns around to his cronies in Africa and Asia, rolls his eyes and says, this is just English sour grapes. It's Britain's unwillingness to recognise that Asia and Africa...
Yeah, post-colonialism, yeah.
So it's not a system that's designed to change anything. England alone can't stop Blatter. And I do. The more I think about this, Davo, the more I think that the country that's going to stop FIFA is the one we're living in, the United States of America.
Yeah.
60 Minutes. I bet in their offices they're already doing a report. BuzzFeed, TMZ Sports. There's consumer pressure on Coca-Cola, Visa, McDonald's. I mean, FIFA definitely listened to one language. That is money. You should produce, according to at Mini James, a Real Housewives of FIFA show, David.
Uh-huh. I could do the post show with Andy Cohen.
But that, I mean, there's another thing, which is our own inertia. There is a dislocation between FIFA and football that we love. We allow ourselves to treat FIFA like the crazy uncle in the corner of the room and make believe that it doesn't interfere with the joy that is Miguel Herrera or John Brooks' wonder last-minute goal or Lionel Messi. But it does, it does. I mean, FIFA coats everything in a dirty, filthy stench. And the other people who are very powerful in this, David, I mean, FBI have announced they're going to carry on their probe. I doubt anything will come from that. We can throw the A-team at them. We can throw a CSI team at them. But the other group who really can make change are the biggest rights holders who buy the World Cup and invest a huge amount in FIFA. I think 85% of their revenue comes from World Cup rights sales. Right now it's Fox and the Spanish language holders. They are the biggest investors in FIFA.
Yeah.
US is the biggest television market for FIFA, and they wield an incredible amount of power.
Yeah, but they've already paid for the rights. They've already done that, so it's tough for them to withhold something they've already spent. I'll tell you one thing we could do, one campaign we could start, Rog, is remember down in Brazil, just a load of old codswallop that they were selling in those official FIFA stores. We should start a global campaign for people not to buy any officially licensed FIFA product. We bought our little Jules Rimet, our little our Golden World Cup trophy. We bought them from just some like busker on the street.
You thought it was a busker? I actually think it was Sepp Blatter.
It could have been. No, I think it was a busker. We need to somehow hurt FIFA financially because it's the only thing they listen to, Roger.
Well, my favourite Sepp Blatter quote ever, and there's many that have been bonkers, see his comments on women's football, for instance. Oh, yeah. Last year when he spoke at the Oxford Union, I think it was in October, He said, "There are not many names the media haven't thrown at me in the last few years. I would be lying to you if I said it didn't hurt. You have to ask yourself," he said with a straight face, "what have I done?" Sepp Blatter has feelings, Davey.
Oh, man. I'll tell you who I'd like to set on Sepp Blatter, Rog. Our next guest, Rog, joining us now, the centre for one of the hottest teams in the NBA. His 13 points and 9 rebounds a game have helped lead the Washington Wizards.
The Bullets.
The Wizards to a 7-2 start this season. But before he turned to the hardwood, his home was the soccer field, Rog. He commanded penalty areas around Poland as a goalkeeper.
Tallest goalkeeper of all time.
We welcome to the pod a man with a Premier League caliber haircut who used to play for my beloved Orlando Magic, Rog, the Polish hammer, Marcin Gortat.
How you guys doing? How you guys doing?
I still am getting over you leaving the Magic. I cheered for you so hard at that team.
Yeah, unfortunately, every dream has to end at some point. And, being in Orlando for four years almost, it was a great experience, a great start for me as an NBA player. And, back then we had a great organization. You know, I learned a lot from a lot of different players and obviously from Coach Van Gundy. But now, obviously, it's time to move on, and now I'm in another great organization as Washington Wizards.
They're a great home for you. I mean, I remember cheering for the Bullets, George Mareesen. They've got a rich tradition of Eastern European big men, Marcy.
Yeah. Right. Well, George is extremely big boy, and I had an opportunity to take a picture with him. I have to tell you, I look really small right next to him, man. I never felt like that in my entire life.
Well, certainly.
He shake my hand. His hand just grabbed my. His fingers just probably like tickle my elbow. I was like, "Lord, your hand is massive."
And to be clear, for those who don't know, Marcin is a large, large man. My children and we were right up close when you were at the Garden a couple of weeks ago playing the Knicks. Huge win for you guys. And my children could not believe how large you were. You're rather menacing. You've got a pretty menacing mohawk going on right now as well.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Yeah, I'm trying to grow something on top of my head. You know, I just realized, you know, I'm still not that old. I'm 30 years old. You know, I've been bald for so many years, and I just realized that if I can still grow some hair, I should do it. And, you know, obviously, we NBA players, we are trying to be silly, and we got too much time on our hands, so that's why I decided to come up with a mohawk like that.
The only place we can grow it is our nose and our ears now. So we're living through you, Marcin. George Mareesen, for those who don't remember, is 7'7". He's kind of Peter Crouch-sized. You're from Lodz, city that's right. Known as the Manchester of Poland. It's nicer than Manchester.
The sky's close to the ground.
It's a good city. It used to be a capital of soccer, I would say. You know, back then when, you know, one of our teams, Vita Lodz, used to be in the Champions League for so many years. You know, back then I also played soccer as a goalie, and my dream was to play for the Manchester United, and unfortunately, you know,
that's what I love about you. You didn't even play basketball until you were almost 18. You're essentially the Manute Bol of Poland.
Correct. I stopped playing soccer when I was 10 years old. I was a goalie for about 7.5 years. And, you know, my big dream was to just play for the Manchester United, to be another Peter Schmeichel, Matter of fact, he has a birthday today. If I'm not mistaken, so happy birthday to Peter. And you know, it was just a great feeling to be that big as he was, and just you know, try to you know protect the goalie and just try to get as many saves as possible. But unfortunately, at age 17 and a half, I just realized like you know, nothing is going on. You know, a lot of kids from my team start going to the different divisions, you know, going up. They had, you know, different agents, you know, working with them. And people are telling me, you got to go, you know, you got to go into basketball. You're going to do better in basketball. And for some reason also, I just start feeling like I'm more interested in basketball at some point. And that's why I decided to change. And I guess it was a good decision.
Huge decision. End up in Orlando with Dwight Howard as your backup. Marcin, that's how I always saw the situation. And so Switching from soccer to basketball, we've heard people say before that the footwork is similar, that the footwork is very good training between the two sports. But what was hard for you initially about basketball, and what did soccer give you going into basketball?
You know what? First of all, what soccer gave me, I think soccer gave me a lot of good things. First of all, the touch for the ball. You know, I was able to touch the ball, catch the ball easily with one hand, two hands. And obviously, basketball, you know, soccer ball is way smaller, and basketball is way bigger. So I was able to catch the ball. Difficult passes, low passes, high passes, you know, overhead passes. And I never had a problem with that. I think, you know, being a soccer goalie helped me to develop my jump shot also, you know, the feeling for the ball, the ladder movement, you know, when you're standing in a cage, you know, you got to be able to move to left and right with 2-3 steps, and you don't have enough time to turn left and sprint. You have to slide. And I think this is what made me a really good defender also in NBA. You know, the preparation from soccer, you know, gave me opportunity to slide my feet to the left and right really quick, you know, for 7-foot guy. And I think, you know, falling on the ground and, you know, picking up and falling again on the ground, just landing on the ground constantly, trying to save some goals, you know, it helped me to develop that toughness and prepare me for, you know, the battle that we have right now in NBA, you know, in the paint. So soccer, I truly say soccer gave me everything. Soccer gave me a lot of different things.
There's an incredible tradition of Polish goalkeeper Szczęsny, Artur Boric, Fabianski. You've
Correct.
Always produced as many as Americans, apart from yours have hair. Why do you think that is?
You know what? It's you know, at least we have something to be proud of. You know, I mean, it's too bad that we have so many great goalies right now, and we have only obviously one. We need only one goalie in the game. You know, if we could have 2-3, I'm quite sure we'll put up probably 2-3, you know, top 10 goalies in the world probably right now. I mean, Szczęsny is outstanding young man, you know, great goalkeeper, and he's getting better and better. Then we have Artur Boric. He's still fighting, you know, to be one of the best in the world. I mean, he's still doing a great job. And then, you know, we have a lot of great goalies that we already forgot about, like Kuszczak, you know, playing in, if I'm not mistaken, West Bromwich right now. So we have a lot of goalies that can play on a really high level, but you know, too bad we don't have more midfielder or strikers or defenders, you know, on the high level. You know, if we could get another guy like Lewandowski who's going to play in the center field, that would be outstanding. I mean, we'll have a really good team.
We've always said you've got Klose and Podolski.
Well, we do have Podolski and Klose. I actually personally know very well. I know Podolski very well because we used to play in German league. He played for the FC Cologne, and I played for the Rhein Energy Cologne in basketball. So, you know, he was the Polish stud over there. I was the Polish stud in basketball. So, you know, we had a lot of different events together. So I was able to get to know him a little bit better, and it was just amazing. You know, he's a cool guy. You know, he's a great striker, but you know, now he's playing in Arsenal. I hope he's going to get more playing time, and he's going to be one of the best strikers in the world in the future.
Does it piss you off as a Pole to watch them pull on the German jersey?
You know what? I think we get used to it. We kind of get used to it. You know, we had
being shafted by Germans, Marcy.
Right. Well, it's their decision. I will never do it. family. I'm just too attached to my country. I'm just too attached to my city. But I can't imagine myself changing the nationality. I mean, I could take, you know, American passport just to have an easier life in the United States, but I don't think I'll take passport to play for a different national team.
I mean, you've had your moment in the recent period with Poland. You just beat Germany.
Right.
You're unbeaten. You demolished Georgia 4-0 in this international break. You've scored 15 goals in just 4 qualifying games. You have a plus 13 goal difference. You can almost taste Euro 2016. How's that been for you and the nation? I mean, they've qualified once for the Euros, apart from when they hosted it, I think 2008. It's a pretty thrilling time to be interested in Polish football right now, Marcin.
Right, correct. Well, I got to tell you, unfortunately, our soccer, it wasn't, the football obviously wasn't on the highest level recently. You know, the last 2-3 months, obviously, we're playing outstanding football. You know, these guys are playing together. They're having fun. They're scoring. They're playing defense. And you know, the result, I think everything started from the German game. You know, we beat Germany. I think just because we were the team that's supposed to lose, everybody came to the game relaxed. And they said to each other, hey, listen, we don't have anything to lose. Let's just win let's just try to win this game. You know, let's just play hard, win the game. And I think this is what happened. They won the game. All of a sudden, everybody started talking about them. Everybody started getting excited. And I think they're just playing with the flow right now. They're just enjoying to play together, you know. And that's why they continue to winning. But unfortunately, you know, the last 2 years, it was just miserable. I mean, you know, we've been losing games to teams that I don't think they have professional players, you know, in their league. So, you know,
I thought you were talking about England for a second there.
It was embarrassing. So, you know, I'm glad these guys are finally playing well, and you know, I can be proud of them right now.
A couple of things I love about you that I read in preparing for our conversation: how you psych yourself up for a game of basketball in the locker room.
Yeah, I have a lot of different. A lot of different drills. Let's put it this way. I like to yell to people, you know, different quotes from the movies.
From which movie, Marcin? From the movie 300, right?
I got one from 300. I got one from The Gladiator. I got one from Bad Boys. I got one from... I got
21
yeah,
Jump
I got
Street.
Prepare for glory is what you
yeah,
realize.
I got...
I've got one for you that I think may put you over the top. This may put you over the top. Breakfast Club, Emilio Estevez. Two hits.
Say again?
Emilio Estevez, great actor, one of America's greatest. The Breakfast Club, if you've not seen it, it's very much in the Sparta 300.
War movie.
Training Day kind
of.
You've got to get it. Netflix it. Two hits, me hitting you. You hitting the floor. If you run around the locker room shouting that for the bullets, I guarantee you'll get a double-double.
Wizard.
I also love that you're a remarkably reflective man. I read an interview with you from the Polish newspaper Gazeta Wyborcza, which I read all the time. You said, I'm a loner. Even when I used to live with my girlfriend, I wanted to be alone. Sometimes I cut myself off from my friends. I look at the wall. I look at a white wall. I contemplate about life. Where I am, where I would like to be. We have a lot of young listeners who listen to this show, Marcin. Can you tell us about this practice, what it does for you, and where you wander in your mind?
Well, you know, there are days and you know that you actually want to sit down and analyze what you do in life and what you do and why you're doing. There's a lot of people living in this world just from day to day. They're living the same way. They're cruising pretty much through their life. They're going to work, coming back, going to sleep, going to work, coming back, you know, going to sleep. And they live, but they don't have any purpose in their life. You know, they just live because they live. And
yeah, what
I'm
the
just
French
trying
call
to,
the metro bulo dodo. Yes.
And I'm trying to focus on a goal. I'm trying to focus on my goal in my life. You know, I got certain goals. I got certain points where I want to be in my life. And you know, once in a while, I just sit down and think about how far I am from these goals, if I'm doing the right thing to reach those goals. And you know, I'm just thinking about a lot of different things, you know, if I did something correct, if I did something wrong, what can I do better? How can I become a better man? How can I become a better teammate or player on the court? And there's a lot of things I'm thinking about, you know, and I think I'm getting better after every meditation I do, you know, after every conversation I have with myself and my brain, I think I'm becoming a better man. And you have those days where you're coming back after the bad game and you're thinking like, Lord, this guy just destroyed me. Like, what's going on? I'm trying to find mistakes. I'm trying to find something what I did wrong. And you know, it's just part of the life. I'm just trying to analyze a lot of things.
Oh, we love you.
Hallelujah. That's amazing. You. So, you know, I'm always been suspicious when various American journalists will say, you know what, when they watch their US men's national team, they say, remember guys, these are not our best athletes. Because I think it's very hard to convert skills from one sport to another. But I must say, I was watching John Wall, your teammate John Wall, the other day, and mm-hmm. I was thinking, wow, that guy could be a soccer player.
Oh, yes. I mean, his acceleration is just ridiculous. I mean, I don't know about his footwork. I mean, footwork is great, but unfortunately, I don't know about him being able to handle the ball with his, you know, being able to kick the ball and stuff like that. You know, I've seen some things in the practice. I was afraid, me and Nana actually, we were afraid he's going to hurt himself as he's going to be out for, you know, 2 months. So we told him to don't kick the ball. But, from the physical standpoint, he will be tremendous. I mean, I think John will be able to play football, baseball, whatever sports he will get into. He's just physical freak. I mean, he's just physical freak. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
We've got a question from one of our listeners, at Notorious Hoy. He says, Marcin, you've referred to yourself as sexual white chocolate. I think you got that from me, Marcin.
Yeah.
Who is the most sexual white chocolate or black chocolate in all of international soccer?
Right. Well, first of all, it came from Martell Webster. We were just, you know, fooling around again, you know. NBA players, we all clowning, we fooling around. You know, we got enough time. We got so much time on our hands. We just talk about all different crap. So, you know, listen, I mean, everybody feels different ways. You know, some players think they're great, but they are not. You know, some people think they're shooter, but they are not. You know, big men always think they can handle the ball, but they can't. And, you know, I just came up with the idea that I'm just sexual white chocolate. That's why. It's just, obviously, it's all for fun, you know. We're not taking this serious, but it's all for fun, you know. Me and Martell, we have our nicknames here, so unfortunately, I can't tell you all of them.
Stephen Naismith wins again, David.
So are you still, have you been watching the Premier League this season, Marcin, following Manchester United?
Oh, yeah, constantly. I'm watching all the time. Too bad, unfortunately, they're not doing well. You know, I don't know what's going on. I really thought that Louis van Gaal is going to do a better job. I mean, I think he's doing a good job. They might just need more time to get together. They just get a lot of new players, quality players, and I think they just need time. But, you know.
They're coming in for you and Nene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Centre-backs. I mean, and you and Nene and centre-backs would be amazing.
If they need that punch, if they need that dual punch, they can give us a call. We can, if they can cover our fine for the NBA games, that's no problem.
I was watching Nene the other day at the same game I was watching Marcin, and I was thinking, how is he not in the Brazil squad ahead of Joe? I just don't get it. I just don't understand how Joe is in that team and Nene is not.
We'll be a really good, trust me, we'll be a great duo, me and Nana in soccer, on the soccer field. We'll definitely go bad. And we'll make sure that Mourinho will have headaches in Chelsea.
That's hilarious. Marcin, thank you so much. You've been an amazing guest. Good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you, guys.
With the Wizards. And good luck to the Poland national team. We wish great things for that nation and that soccer team.
Godspeed to all. Thanks, Marcin.
Godspeed. Bye.
Thanks.
Sexual white chocolate.
Have a good day.
Bye. Honestly, Rog, one of my favourite athletes we've ever had on the pod. It's
definitely top 10 for me.
Definitely my favourite poll.
Top 3 polls. We're going to get him back on because we didn't even touch upon his love of Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, I know. Did you ever play Dungeons & Dragons
when
you were a kid? I'm
1/16th half-elf.
1/16th, that's 1/32nd. I never really understood Dungeons & Dragons. I used to stand around people playing it and was just very, very confused. Too busy playing Subutio, Rog. Okay, on to your Ravens. This is from Ben Stormo. That's a great name, Stormo. After trying and failing to get tickets to last year's Men's World Cup, golf clap for FIFA, I have made plans to attend the World Cup next year in Canada. That's the correct use of World Cup and Men's World Cup. I've booked my travel, rented a house,
And now all I need to complete the trip is the jersey. However, after searching the Nike and US soccer websites, I learned that I, a man, won't be able to buy a jersey of any of the female players playing in next summer's World Cup. Even if I bought a male jersey, it cannot be customized to have the two precious World Cup winning stars above the crest. Therefore, I'm stuck wearing either a jersey without the stars, a serious no-no, or trying to squeeze into a youth jersey, which would make Arsenal's kit look baggy. Therefore, I'm asking for your suboptimal help in conjunction with your GFOPs to right this wrong and get men-sized women's jerseys ahead of next year's World Cup in Canada. Yours in pod, Bed Stormo. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
This is like the secret remake of Tootsie.
Oh, genius idea.
Nike.
Yeah.
Did you not get the memo that the last group it's permissible to be racist to are gingies?
Yeah.
Not all males.
Yeah.
It's terrible, this, David.
Yeah.
I've got to say, I could not be more excited for this World Cup. I mean, just in general, I'm excited, but I'm excited for this US women's team in particular. I was in Vancouver, I was with Becky Sauerbrunn, and the more time I spend with these players, the more I appreciate the epic stakes that they're really grappling with. And I get a real sense of just how big it's going to be in prime time in 2015. Nike, it's a plea from us to you.
Yeah.
Don't be sexist.
Yeah.
Let us support our women without losing our dignity.
Yeah.
I want my Amy LaPelbe jersey, David.
Yeah.
And I want it now.
I want a Rapinoe. I want a Rapinoe, Rog. I would wear that with absolute pride. Okay, the winner, Rog, of the coveted Guinness Men in Blazers Poet, Philosopher, Soccer, Scribe, Raven of the Week is Craig McCollum. He writes, I was in the Nashville airport last Thursday. Oh my God, where's this going? Waiting for my flight back to Dallas to go home after being in town for work. My American Airlines gate was next to a flight arriving from LaGuardia. Airports are great people watching locations. And what do you know? But Davo walks off the LaGuardia flight. I travel weekly for work and have seen many famous people. I did double take and to verify my first thought, and yes, it was definitely Davo. And I actually was listening to the 11-12 podcast when I saw him. Now, what do? One, yell something such as Diego Costa Jazz Hands, Davo, Rog, or Arlo to get his attention. But wait, what if it's not him? Or worse, what if it is and he stares at me and keeps walking? Or comes over to me and what do I say? Two, walk up to him and introduce myself and tell him that I'm a GFOP. Then again, you have to think of something witty or clever to say. Three, do nothing and regret it for the rest of my life. What is the protocol on coming up to famous people? Well, first of all, I would say that one of the delights of doing this and building Men in Blazers with our GFOPs is when people do come up to us all over the place, often when they are listening to us on the pod at the same time, and just introduce themselves. Happened to me today at the gym, went to go and get my juice. Guy came over and said, what are you doing in the crap part of the West Village? I love it when people come and say hi. Always come and say hi. And secondly, we are really not famous.
I think it's a fascinating question. I remember that once about 10 years ago, couldn't be that long, maybe 8, 7, 6 years ago, I was in a sandbox in Central Park and I was chatting to Conan O'Brien. His kid was playing there. My kid was playing there. And we just, it was clearly, I mean, how many 7'8" gingies are that with crazy kind of thick mane in New York City? It was clear that it was Conan O'Brien. But we were chatting about our kids and trucks and schools in New York City. I was chatting to him about 45 minutes. And then with a sigh, he said to me, oh, I'm moving to LA soon. And I realized in my head, like, I knew exactly why he was moving to LA. It was on the front of every arts page. That was going on. He was about to take over the Tonight Show, but I'd already committed to the fiction that I had no idea who he was. And we were just two kind of New York dads having a chat. And so I just kind of committed to it. I was like, go for it. And I just said, oh, really? When are you moving to LA for, mate? And he goes, oh, for work. And I just said, yeah, for work. And we left it at that.
Yeah, but I like that. I like that. I mean, it's an awkward situation. I'm not sure if this happened to you. I'm sure it has. Where somebody says, I know you from somewhere. We've met. We've done it. And you know you haven't met them. And you get a sense that maybe they saw you on ESPN during the World Cup or on NBC Sports.
Most
doing
of them
show,
think I was that
Joe.
Bald guy from Sex and the City.
But it's that time where you don't really want to say, oh, I'm on television. Or you might have seen me appearing on Seth
Guy Ritchie's
Snatch.
Want to,
it's much nicer to say, oh, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I've got a familiar looking face.
I just tell people I was the producer of Watch What Happens Live.
Watch What Happens Live. Anyway, we love it when you come up and say hi. Always come and say hi. Don't think for a second. I'm not sure that applies to celebrities, but we are not celebrities. We're just Rog and Davo making a little pod.
Hashtag Stalk Davo.
That's it. Okay, Rog, your weekend looks like this.
Football's back, Davo.
It's back.
In our loving arms.
Chelsea versus West Bromwich. It was wonderful when Marcin said West Bromwich. I love that. 10 a.m. Saturday, NBC Sports Network. It's going to be Arlo's first game, Rog. Quite excited. Arsenal versus Manchester United, Rog. That's 12:30 p.m. Saturday on the network, on NBC, Rog.
Two falling giants, Davo.
Yeah.
I mean, both expected to finish top four. One is six.
Yeah.
The other seventh. I feel like they're both kind of like North by Northwest, hanging off the edge of a cliff.
Yeah.
Only one will pull themselves off to the top.
Yeah.
United, crazy injury problems. Few teams have been dealt harder by this international break. Daily Blint, damaged knee ligaments. David De Gea has dislocated his finger.
Uh-huh.
Michael Carrick has a dodgy groin. Even worse news for United, Phil Jones is most probably available again. Arsenal, the Daily Mail took great pleasure in the break in running an article when they had nothing else to write. Without Sanchez's goals, Alexis Sanchez's goals and his assists, they revelled in the fact that Arsenal would currently be in 17th place, David.
Wow.
History doesn't work like that, but it's still fascinating. Going
that
to be an amazing
is not
game.
A trophy, Rog. And then on Sunday, on CNBC, Rog, which is very interesting, Crystal Palace versus Liverpool. That's 8:30 a.m. on Sunday on CNBC. Also, Sunday, the first leg of an MLS conference finals, Rog.
Can't wait.
New York, New England at 1:30 p.m. on NBC Network, Rog. That's on the NBC Network.
It's the future now.
Future. And, Rog, the LA Galaxy host Seattle, 5 p.m. on ESPN.
Cannot wait. Wow. Absolutely cannot wait. Landon, for those people who are making documentaries about Landon Donovan, we do love the Sounders, but we're keeping our fingers crossed. Yeah.
Many ways to connect to us. One is through our Amazon Emporium, Rog, which helps keep the show going. Anytime you go on Amazon for items, big or small, just click off the Emporium page. Men in Blazers gets a tiny percentage that allows us to cover the cost of creating the show. What are you putting in the Emporium this week, Rog?
A book I finally got round to reading.
Oh,
it's
fantastic.
Been on my side table for far too long, and I'm angry at myself because I've loved every page. Martin Amis's Zone of Interest. Dark, disturbing book.
I love Martin Amis.
Oh, he set this one in a Nazi concentration camp. He's told it from a German perspective. It is deft, intelligent. It is hauntingly brilliant. And it's the kind of book that has stayed with me even when the tome is not in my hands. Ultimately, it's about the human condition, the battle between the rational and the emotional in the context of madness. And I would recommend it to anyone that likes to read books.
Very different from what I'm putting in the store, Rog. I'm putting in Nature's Miracle Original Pet Stain and Odor Remover in a 24-ounce bottle. If you get a new puppy from Nashville,
just theoretically.
Rog, theoretically. You might want to get some Nature's Miracle Original Stain and Odor Remover. Works on anything that comes out of your puppy and keeps your man loft clean and smelling man loft.
Golden turds don't smell of Dracar when they come out, do they?
They do. I hate the smell of Dracar. Can't stand it, Rog. Other ways to connect to us, Rog, meninblazers.wikispaces.com/, that's a wonder of the modern world. And as always, you can contact us through meninblazers.com. All of our stuff up there, including a link on how to sign up for our newsletter. Follow us on Twitter, @meninblazers, @RogBennett, @EmbassyDavies, on Instagram, @meninblazers, Facebook. We've got a subreddit, Rog. It's maintained by GFOP Akshay. That's at reddit.com/r/meninblazers. You can email us at meninblazers@gmail.com. You can send your ravens, as always, to the crap part of Soho. Very cold in the northeast today, but the ravens
are doing...
Makes
your nipples stand to attention.
As always, Rog. Vendapunked.
War pig.
Who wants to sex Mutombo?
Explosion.
Courage, Rog.
Size the dead.
Is that your analysis?
To tweed.
Abrigado. Rock on, mate.
Kung Fu Fight in America. Love you, Davey.
Love you, Rog.
Woof, 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 woof. Love you, Rog.